Hi, I'm Pastor Lisette Rodriguez.
And I'm Pastor Jeremiah Rodriguez.
And this is
Speaking Life Podcast, where we're inspiring hearts
and transforming minds. Being that you're newlywed and all.
Yes, I am. Yes,
congratulations again.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Might I say I'm so proud of him, but that's just me. Mm. Anyway, what level of commitment, since you're newlywed, what level of commitment would you say that marriage has taken thus far?
Everything. And then some. You got to know for sure. Like, this is the person that you're going to spend the rest of your life with. So I think what helped me prepare for the commitment prepare for the commitment was you. You know, you always told me like, hey, she ain't the one. You have no business being in this one. You have no business being there. And you know what? She was always right. And I was always that child that tried to prove her wrong. I was always in the background like, I'm going to prove her wrong. I don't care what you say. I'm going to prove you wrong. But disclaimer, mothers know best, okay? So it requires a lot. It requires a lot, but it's fun at the same time, right? It's like your commitment with God. A commitment with God doesn't have to be boring. And I think that's why people don't want to have that relationship necessarily, because they find it boring. But it's not that it's boring, it's because you're making it boring. So like for me, you know, being, you know, freshly married, it required commitment that I'm, of course, I was willing to give no matter what, because I already knew she was like God ordained just for me. What I didn't know was that the level of like separation anxiety I would have.
Expand a little bit on that.
So, you know, for 30 years, I've always lived at home. I never lived on my own. All I know is, you know, my parents and my siblings and now my grandparents or whatever. So being a part of that, like you always hear the noise. You're used to the noise. You're used to seeing mom and dad. I'm used to seeing you guys and say, hey, what's up? Or, you know, knowing when to talk to my siblings, knowing when not to talk to them because they're in a bad mood or something like that. Like, that's what I dealt with for 30 years. And now going to from that to now just me and my wife, because now I live with my in-laws and I honor my in-laws for opening their doors to me. It's completely different. It's completely different. I remember I would drive to work. I would drive to work and I couldn't breathe. Like, I just couldn't breathe because I've never had anxiety, but like this felt real. So like I'm on my way to work and I just can't breathe. And I'm asking God, yo, give me peace. It gave me peace that surpasses all understanding because I can't breathe right now. I promise you, that whole week, that whole first week I was married, I was constantly at this house. Remember? I was here every single day just because I wasn't prepared. I genuinely wasn't. I don't think you'll ever be prepared for that. But I missed home. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I miss home. Now that I think...
You know I didn't have a problem with that.
No, I know you didn't have a problem.
I still don't have a problem.
She definitely didn't have a problem, but I had to learn to, you know, be with my wife and start this life with her and be okay with...
That's what commitment's about.
Yeah, and be okay with being away from my family and knowing they're going to always be there and they're not going to leave, but it's just that you're not going to see them every day. So that was the biggest challenge for me. Like, the commitment part, that was easy. But that was a challenge for me.
Really, the commitment part of that has a lot to play in this, because you're committed now to your wife.
Yeah.
So that commitment was coming at a cost.
Oh, for sure.
Of your family.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I think back, because, I mean, you guys are fresh, newlywed. Your father and I have been in this for now 31 and a half years, going on 32. And to me, the word commitment means it's another way of saying things aren't always going to go right. I'm not always going to be excited the way I am now. I'm not always going to be joyful the way I am now. I'm not always going to be happy the way I am now. But commitment says that even when I'm not, I'm willing to stay and work on things.
Yeah. And I completely agree. And another word I like, it's kind of correlates with commitment, is devotion, right? Like, when I'm saying I'm devoted to this thing or devoted to God or devoted to my wife or devoted to the gym, whatever it may be, it's exactly how it sounds. Like, you devote, you took your vote away. So being committed, you're right, taking your vote away in a sense of, if it's raining outside, you're still going to go to the gym, right? If it's snowing outside, you're still going to go to the gym. If I don't feel like it, that mentality of the feeling, if I don't feel like it, because remember, you always say feelings are indicators, not dictators, right?
I know, but you know how many times I sat in front of the gym in my car for 20 minutes? 20 minutes in my car.
I do the same thing. I was talking to my wife today, and I'm in the gym. I was like, I know I'm like, I always get excited before I go to the gym. And then once I enter the plaza, I'm like, it just all drains. I don't know where it goes, but the excitement just leaves me. And I'm sitting in a parking lot for 5 minutes figuring out whether I want to go in there or not.
But commitment.
Yes.
Will make you go in.
Commitment and devotion will make you go in. Being devoted will make you go in. But yeah, commitment is everything. Commitment requires trust. Commitment requires action.
Right. So that's where I think a lot of times things don't work out the way people expect it to work out. And I'm talking, you know, broadly, like in various circumstances, right? Things don't work out, but it's not because they weren't meant to work out. It's because of lack of commitment.
Yeah.
Because commitment requires, well, for me, it requires you to put in the work. It requires you to listen. You like it, you don't like it, you feel like it, you don't feel like it. And I've always said it, your greatest enemy is yourself.
Yeah, facts.
You know, my feelings, like I preach all the time, right? They should be indicators, not dictators. But so often we get caught in allowing our feelings and our emotions to dictate instead of indicate.
Yeah.
And that causes us a lack of commitment.
Yeah.
And that's straight across the board. I'm talking about in relationships, in friendships, in ministry, in family, like, commitment is that glue that's saying, you know what? Even when I don't want to be here, I'm going to stay.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm going to work on this. I'm going to work on. And it's hard because you're going against what you feel. You're going against what you emotionally want. But commitment, as great as it is, because when you think about commitment, you're saying, listen, I'm already looking at the big picture.
Yeah.
Right? Because a trainer, you already know, right? A trainer will come and say, listen, if you stay committed to this plan that I give you for the next 6 to 12 months, if you stay committed to this plan, this is what you can expect. So we buy in on commitment because of the end product.
Yeah, absolutely.
But when we start off excited. But then as we go along, it's like we start thinking it through. Do I really want to stay committed to this?
Yeah.
Right? And then there's some things that you could break your commitment, but then there's others like relationships. That's why I asked you in the beginning, you know, how is your commitment in your marriage? Because you're in that honeymoon stage. So yeah, everything is going good, but you know, commitment will always come at a cost. And the problem with commitment is that that cost will continue to increase.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think what also helps like with you being committed is you understanding your why. And understanding the commitment and your why is bigger than yourself. I think it's easy to, when I'm saying committed to the gym and I only go for, I'm saying I'm doing this for me. I think it's easy to quit. You give yourself wiggle room to quit. Like, oh, I'm not going to go today. It's okay because I decided to do that. But now being married, like my commitment to my wife, it's more so like my why is her. You know what I mean? Like my why is, you know, I want a future home. I want, you know, future kids, but what does that look like? What does my commitment look like to that? You know what I mean? Like,
I know I'm going to have twin grandbabies.
That's what they keep prophesying, but we'll see. It's so much
I
to the point where.
I speak a word.
We'll see, yo. We'll see. Right now, I don't want no kids right now, but we'll see. I'm excited
That's why
about
God
that.
God is going to give you double for your trouble.
Ah, Lord Jesus.
You're going to rewind this and you're going to look back and be like, look at her.
You know, whatever. So understanding your why will help you to continue to be consistent.
Right.
Because your why is so much bigger than who you are. And I think people forget their why and they forget ultimately who they are, right? So, and in forgetting who they are, they're just in this place of like, kind of like autopilot or kind of like complacency or like limbo, I like to say. Because like the first, I would say like, first like 2 weeks, you know, we're together, we're having a good time, but like, I feel like I have no structure. Like, I feel like there's no... And we're having fun. Like, I'm having a great time, but it's just like, where do I put room for me? Where do I put room for God? Where do I put room for, you know, like her vision and my vision? How does that work together?
It's a lot. It's a lot to manage.
Oh my gosh, it's a lot. And it's to the point where it's just like, it's so overwhelming that you just sit like, I don't know how to figure this out. Like, I gotta write this down. I gotta communicate with her. Like, what does our commitment look like to each other? But what does it look like in the long run? Like, what do we want?
But you see, I like that. I like what you just said because commitment takes out the opportunity to quit.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you are committed, you cannot quit. It's like when, you know, you're buying a home.
Yeah.
You're signing that dotted line. You are committed to that house. You are committed to that mortgage. You are committed to that lender. It's not about feelings or emotion. Because guess what? Even if you don't feel like paying that mortgage, your mortgage is due.
Yeah, no, facts. Facts.
Even if you're in a bad mood, your mortgage is due. And better yet, even if something happened and you came up short, your mortgage is still due. I'm talking about that's a true commitment. Yeah,
for sure.
So there are certain things in life that I know that when we, you know, like I know your father and I, sometimes we hesitate to sign that dotted line because we already know what that type of commitment indicates.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just transferring that to every other part of your life because commitment is such an important part of life. And those things that you commit to should be the greatest things that you know beyond the shadow of a doubt, you're never going to quit.
Yeah.
Because here's the problem. Like when you cancel on a commitment, when you, you know, disrupt something that you previously, first of all, that's your word.
Yeah, absolutely.
What you're telling others is that your word is really not worth much because you committed to this and you didn't fulfill it.
Yeah.
Right? Like many of the jobs, I was talking to someone today, side note, you know, and she's like a hiring agent. And she was saying, she was like, you know, nowadays we look for people with a degree simply because if they're able to commit 4 years to school, we know that they'll stay committed to the job.
Yeah, that's
it's
true.
That mentality.
Yeah.
Right? That commitment is an action.
For sure. For sure. And it is your word at the same time. I mean, I'll take it a step further. The greatest of all time was committed to us, Jesus Christ, right? In the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, you know, take this, if you're willing, take this cup from me, for my flesh is
so
weak.
He had the thought.
He had the thought.
He had the emotions.
He felt like quitting, but he didn't execute it.
He had the feelings.
Yeah. He felt like quitting, but he didn't execute it because he was committed, right? The word had to be fulfilled.
Right.
So he understood that. But he had a moment of vulnerability and saying, yo, Father, take this cup from me. You know, my flesh is weak, but my spirit is willing. Let your will be done, right? Because he understood his assignment. Right. So he understood his commitment to us and dying on a cross. So that way we can have salvation, we can have grace, we can have mercy and that abundance of forgiveness because he was committed. He was committed. So if he has to go through that, if God came down and, you know, became flesh and went through all the, you know, obviously he was perfect. But he went through all three emotions that even have a vulnerable moment like that.
He was human, and in his humanity, he also had limitations.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think that's a perfect example as well to let us know that it's not that we're going to be, once you're committed, it's not that you're going to be exempt from emotions, exempt from your feelings, exempt from wanting to quit. You know, it's not that you're exempt from that, but it's that you're making an intentional effort to know that despite how you feel, you're going to press forward because you are committed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a lot of times, I think what helps me is like looking at the end picture. Why am I doing this? The why, like you said the earlier, why, right? So the why should always be something visual so that it can keep you motivated enough to continue to stay committed and focused on the long run. Because sometimes it's going to take us, at times, depending on what you're committed to, it could take longer than others.
Yeah.
But commitment is saying, listen, I'm not going to quit no matter what happens.
Yeah, for sure. And your commitment shows like the message you're trying to convey too. So, you know, Jesus being committed, right? I think I saw this on Instagram. It's like leaders, like having a message is great, but how you convey it is that much more important.
Right.
Right. Because how you say it and you know, the way people receive it is that much more important. You can have all the greatest intentions in the world, but if you don't deliver the message the way it's supposed to, Now that vision is gone because you didn't articulate it properly, right? So by you being committed, you're showing people like, hey, this is my word is my bond.
Right.
Like this is what's gonna happen. I'm gonna fulfill this thing whether you believe me or not. Whether I have to be in isolation, whether I have to be in a pit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if it requires that, then okay. You know, this is what I'm gonna do. This is what I set out to do. You know what I mean? The only reason I'm telling you is to keep me accountable. But I'm gonna keep going with this thing. So.
And I think you know if people often thought about what the word commitment means, they would be a little wiser or a little less, how can I say, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a little less, they wouldn't be in such a hurry to commit to something if you knew how much commitment
requires
and the cost of commitment, because commitment will come at a cost. I don't care what you're committing to, whether it's a job, a relationship, a social function. You know, I've had stuff like that too. Even the simplest things. Oh yeah, no problem. I'll do it. You know, I taught a class in my mentorship program about the art of saying no.
That's good.
Stop being so quick to commit to things that later on are going to cost you more than what you were willing to pay.
Yeah.
Like, stop it. Stop and think the cost that comes along with the commitment you're about to make, whether it's verbal, whether it's written on paper. Commitment comes at a cost. So before you commit to that, whether it be in person or on paper, count the cost and make sure that you're going to see it all the way through.
Yeah. And your purpose is worth the commitment. Your purpose is worth practice. Your purpose is worth the commitment. And I think people don't understand the why in their purpose or their calling necessarily, because they're in the wrong hands. Right. So if I could give an example, right? We all got cell phones, right?
Right.
Right. We can use it for, what can you use your cell phone for?
Texting, calling, recording, pictures,
watching videos, watching Netflix, right. Beyond our internet. Now, depending on whose hands it is, the purpose changes.
Absolutely.
Right. So if I put my purpose into God, right? He's the manufacturer. Then, okay, cool. Now I'm in the right hands and now I can understand the why behind my purpose. But if you put yourself in the wrong hands, whether it be sins or a friend, a toxic relationship, it's hard to be committed to something because now you're experiencing hurt. You're experiencing pain. You're experiencing all these things that you weren't supposed to, all because you were in the wrong hands.
All right, but you brought up a good point. Even staying committed to God comes at a cost.
Yeah.
So we commit our lives to God, right? We felt the touch of the Holy Spirit. We felt the presence of God in our lives. We see what God has done for us, right? So we commit to giving our lives to Him. Even that comes at a cost.
Yeah, for sure.
Because when we commit our lives, we're saying, listen, we're going to give up on the way we used to live.
Yeah.
Or the way we like to live, all for the sake of staying committed, right?
Yeah.
To the cross. So commitment in any relationship, in any way, form, or fashion you put it, commitment requires action, which comes at a cost.
Yeah, it's going to require sacrifice, right? So it's just like worship. You know, we had, you know, young adults Sunday in this service this past Sunday. And, you know, worship, for like what I'm learning about worship, and I knew about it, but when you read in depth about worship, it's sacrifice, right? The first time you hear about worship is in Genesis chapter 22, verse 5, where Abraham's saying, hey, you stay here. Me and my son are going to go up to the hill, do the sacrifice, and we're going to worship.
That's right.
Right? And this is a promise that, you know, he's ready to kill his son, sacrifice everything. The very thing that was promised him, he's ready to sacrifice it. Why? Because it's a worship unto God, right? You're giving something up to show God, hey, I love you no matter
That's
what, it. Right? No matter, thank you for the gift, but if I have to give this gift too, I'm willing, right? And because of his obedience, he was blessed, right? His descendants were blessed.
But that was his commitment. I don't know that there's too many people that would do what Abraham did.
Oh, no. I think those times were different, obviously. You know, like, it's completely different now. We won't go out there and try to kill our kids and stuff like that. But it was a commitment. It was just different during that time period.
It was his commitment to God.
Yeah.
Which nowadays we need to do or follow the example the same. You know, our commitment to God ought to cause us to live a different type of lifestyle and to be different.
Yeah.
Commitment in every way, shape, or form requires, like I said before, it requires action and it comes at a cost. Yeah. So the next time you're getting ready to commit to something, stop, think, and pray.
Yeah, that's a good one. Pray. I heard Pastor Jerry Flowers say, you know, like, the problem with us is, like, we always do the first thing second. And what does that mean? We'll hop into a relationship and then afterwards, ask God to bless it. Or we'll
hop. You know about that.
Yeah, of course. Many, many times, right? Or we'll hop into a job and then ask God to bless it, right? Instead of praying beforehand, asking God, is this your will? Is this part of your plan? Like, yeah, they're offering me a lot of money. Yeah, she looks pretty, or, you know, he looks fine. Like, but really, is this what you want?
Right.
Because if this is not what you want, this is not your will, then I have to, I'm acting outside of your will. And now I have to sustain that on my own. And that never works. That never works. So being in God's will and, you know, prayer is such a powerful thing. Asking his permission, like, is this what you want for me? Because that shows your commitment. That shows your commitment.
That's what I'm just saying. That's
a commitment. It shows your obedience. It shows like you're willing to do his will, not yours. Because we could be so selfish.
Especially when we want our will. Remember, we just went over this not so long ago. Like, when we are so invested in our own will, but our commitment to God makes us stop, pause, think, and pray.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we are so invested in, you know, we talked about that in the last episode. We want to tell God what to do, how to do it, when to do it.
Who to do it through and stuff like that. Like, as if, like, we're putting God in a box and he doesn't belong in your box. So, you know, like, understanding that, like, it's just crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I'm glad that we spoke about commitment today because I think a lot of people fear commitment.
Yeah.
I've spoken to a lot of single people, and some of them have been dating for years. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, and I think it's the fear of commitment.
Yeah.
Not because they don't love the significant other, but more because they're afraid to fail.
That's good.
Right? Because you got to look at it from all angles. And when I hear both sides, you know, sometimes it's just like, listen, they don't want to commit to you. They really don't care about you.
That's true.
But sometimes it's, you know, the fear that comes over them, like, what if I can't do this? What if I can't get it right?
Yeah.
But even to those people, I would say commitment requires action. You're going to have to overcome fear.
Yeah.
Because, right, what does the word say? God has not given us a spirit of fear.
But love, peace, love, and a sound mind.
And a sound mind. So, you know, moving forward, as long as you pray, you present it unto the Lord, moving forward in a commitment is the best thing we can do. We need that challenge.
Yeah, no, for sure.
We need that.
And just like your man Paul says, it's like he welcomes the trials and tribulations. Why? Yes. Because it produces endurance, right? And I think that's why people don't commit is because they lack endurance. Because commitment is for the long haul. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. So if you're not prepared for the marathon, what makes you think you're going to come approach the race and be like, yeah, let's just run this 10K?
Right.
Like, no, you didn't practice for that. So what makes you think you have any right to be in that, right? So, like, you need to practice. You need to practice that. Like, be okay with building your endurance, whether it be in the gym, whether it be at work, whether it be with a significant other, because it's going to require endurance. It's going to require more of you. And when you're tired, guess what? It's going to require even more.
It requires action, and it comes at a cost.
Absolutely.
You know, you cannot say the word commitment without mentioning action and cost.
Yeah. You can't. You got to sacrifice something. You got to sacrifice something. I think I've heard like so many greats or like what I perceive as great. They always talk about their sacrifices. Like I remember hearing Dr. Darius Daniels. He was like, I think somebody had asked him like, yo, you don't spend time with your family or something along the lines of that. I'm paraphrasing. Like, you don't spend time with your family. You don't do this. He goes, yeah, I do. But like at the same time, like I got to study. Like you like he said, do you like winning? And the person said, yeah. He goes, well, you best be in your word then, because this word, the Bible, shows me how to win. So like, not only does it show me how to win for me, but it shows me how to win for my family and stuff of that nature. Like, it requires sacrifice. Like, I got to stow away and study to show myself approved. And even like LeBron was saying, like, he wants to be great. You know, he is great, but he wants to be great. He wants to achieve greatness. So what does that require? Sacrificing time from his family.
And commitment.
And commitment to his team. You know, saying he's going to be there and to help, you know, help empower his teammates to, you know, get to another level. It requires commitment,
right?
It requires effort, it requires your time. So, you know, you're paying a cost no matter what you decide to do.
Absolutely.
Right? So.
Absolutely. So I'm glad we were able to speak about commitment. And the goal today was to bring clarity on the word commitment and all that it entails. So I hope that we were able to fulfill that goal today and that you have a clearer understanding now of the word commitment, that it requires action and it will always come at a cost. So the next time you're getting ready to commit to something, just stop. I always say stop and pray and see what God's will is for it, because you definitely want to stay committed in all things. I'm not talking only about church-based. I'm talking about in life.
Yeah,
commitment is so important. In life.
Yeah, in life, period.
You know, so that's why I want to check in on you. I know you're newly married, but, you know, staying committed is extremely important.
For sure.
And it's what's going to take you to greatness.
Absolutely. It's going to take you to the next level. So, you know, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. If you're listening on Spotify, I promise you guys, we're going to do a lot better being consistent because we are committed to you. We're committed to this thing right here. We've let a lot of things get in the way, but we're going to put a halt to that. Life was lifing, but that's still no excuse, right? True. So, you know, like, you know what I mean? That's what commitment requires, the no excuse part. So we committed to this thing. We're committed to you, but we're also committed to God. So we want to make sure, you know, we're feeding your soul. We want to make sure we're feeding you emotionally, mentally, spiritually, all that. We want to touch on all those things. So if you liked what you heard, share on Spotify, hit that like button, hit that bell notification button, share with your uncle, share with your aunties, your second cousin removed, share with everybody, okay? And we're going to continue to make this ball rolling, all right?
And just make sure you subscribe so you can get the notifications.
All right. God bless you.
Take care, guys.